Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for...
How dare you interrupt our casino conversation.
You know that.
For this Thursday morning, the 25th, the Media Project is taping across the hall, so our normal panelists, Alan and Rosemary, are held up for a moment.
It's the Media Project.
We have both corporate attorney Rich Honan, who joins us. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
And
Captain of Industry, Ray Graff, is here. CEO.
I thought that was you.
That was you. Right.
And Ray Graff is here to just as a placeholder until
right.
we
I'll be
get
Rosemary.
Another crew.
So we don't have much time to straighten everything out before these guys get back in the room. So
we'll never straighten them out. I mean, forget it.
So, welcome to the program. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo will be here in just a second. You're listening to the Roundtable panel. You can join us, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. There will be another debate tonight.
Oh, really?
Are you excited? What are you looking for in the debate?
Depends on how much NyQuil I take.
Yeah. Rich, are you excited to see the debate?
I'm giving up on the debates. I'm all Trump all the time.
Really?
Oh, really? Yeah. Is he your guy?
He's my guy.
Okay.
Interesting.
Mean, okay. Now you're laughing, but no, you're serious.
I'm serious. He's my guy.
He is a corporate attorney.
That's true. Yeah. So,
although I did say a couple of months ago, I said Marco is going to be everybody's second choice, and when all is said and done, I think he's still going to be everybody's second choice, and will rise up and pick up the necessary delegates.
No, do you think that Rubio is going to win?
I think that Super Tuesday is going to go better for Rubio than everybody thinks, could be Cruz's Waterloo. Notwithstanding the presence of Texas.
So you have the two to choose from of Rubio and Trump then. From my understanding, and you would take Trump over,
yes,
over Rubio,
yes.
What reasoning being?
System's not working, and
why would you be sure that Trump is going to change the system? It's worked pretty well for him. Billions, he has billions of reasons why the system has worked.
Well, I do feel fairly sure that he's going to change the dynamic because he's already changed the dynamic. Second,
for the good,
I don't know. I'm not being flip. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know.
I mean, I agree with you.
Dynamic of what? The political process?
The dynamic of the process, the dynamic of the discourse, the dynamic of the way we talk about things. And I do know, or I do think, that whatever direction we've been going in is just not the right direction. And I don't think that Marco or Cruz or Hillary is really going to materially change that direction.
Interesting.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the regular panel.
Hooray!
Oh, that got Alan in.
Yeah, that got Alan in. Didn't take long, right?
No. How was the Media Project? Excellent?
Excellent. Did you say anything about me?
No. Actually, we said stuff about both of you, yeah. You'll have to play the tape back.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll get everybody seated, and we'll begin the second round of our panel after the short break. All right. Everyone is seated. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. The worst thing ever happened to me this morning, I forgot my phone.
Oh, dear.
Now, I think sociologically it's very interesting because, you know, the phones have become a big part of us now.
Yeah.
And you forget it, you're in trouble.
It's part of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I know one guy you cannot call to find out what's in your phone, and I think that's Tim Cook.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, you're on your own. Phone.
Or as we say, are you sure?
Rosemary Armeo is here, University at Albany journalism professor, investigative reporter, and this week's one of this week's Media Project panelists.
So yes. Yes.
We welcome you to our program.
I'm talking everywhere these days.
Excellent.
Non-stop and flapping of the mouth.
Once again, corporate attorney Rich Honan is here. And what the two of you have missed in the first 10 minutes of our program, Rich was talking that after much deliberation, he has decided that if it were between Marco Rubio and Donald Trump, that he is a Trump guy.
And just very quickly, the rationale for that is?
To repeat it a little bit, I think that the direction in which we're going as a country and politically is not the right direction. And I feel that any of the other major candidates are going to continue that direction, whether it's left or right. I just mean from procedurally. And I think Trump's the only one who's going to change that dynamic.
Well, you know, I don't agree with you, of course, and that's why we love having you here, because I think Trump is so dangerous in terms of his mouthings and the kinds of irrational things and the lies that he tells, that I know you to be a very smart lawyer and a terrific guy, so how could you say something like that?
Rose, you want to weigh in?
No, I just think that's completely unjustified. I don't know how anyone can support Trump. I'm.
Well, a lot of people are, Rosemary.
I know that, but and as he himself points out, they're uneducated.
No, they're angry.
Rich is a success, and he's not uneducated, and he has heard the hateful, horrible things this man has said.
Poorly
and yet
educated,
you still,
I believe was the term.
Well, but he also said the educated people were for him.
Yes.
He did say that.
So my question, Rich, is that, all kidding aside, he's not your dream candidate, is he?
No, and none of them are. And what I would say is I think I'm looking more for change than the individual candidate. And sometimes, you know, when change is presented to us, you know, the vehicle of that change or the agent of that change is far from perfect. But I can't figure out a scenario in which we get out of the box that we're in with, you know, one side against the other side.
There's an expression, out of the frying pan and into the fire. So if you want change, I get it. That's why people voted for Obama. But this is a racist, sexist, xenophobic, violent, ugly man.
Where do you get the racist from?
Keep all Muslims out? Mexicans are rapists and criminals?
Shall I
remind you of some other ones?
Also, if you, and this is absolutely true, but if you, Mike Spain's on an interesting article on this, that if you look at the polls of the people who identify themselves as racist, of their support for Trump, that Trump is their
self-identify as racist.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you can do that now in America under this, our changed culture. It's okay to voice Trump-like expressions.
So While
that's fascinating to me, just in general, while it may be
unfair to, although I don't know that it is, it may be unfair to burden a candidate with the beliefs of their supporters. Although there's a reason that they're flocking to him, and especially in the South, and it's I think it's interesting. So what Rosemary said, I think is accurate.
I don't think if I thought he was a racist, I would not vote for him. I don't think he's a racist. I think somebody who it's sad that we have to set the bar so low that just somebody speaking their mind in a political debate is considered something kind of out of the norm.
He mocks the disabled.
I remember Obama saying that when he went bowling, remember when he said that? He said it was like, oh, I went bowling and it was like the Special Olympics. You don't remember that? It was on like the
That
Tonight
is not
Show?
Mocking the disabled. Trump
really?
Pointed to a specific
wait a minute,
reporter
really?
With a, yes, really, it is not. The Special Olympics, no. He was, that's self-deprecation. Trump
Alan,
was pointed.
That. I know you're not buying that one, Alan.
No. I don't. Look, we all say things that could be held up to the light of day.
All of us.
Be sort of interpreted in a bad way. I think Rosemary is probably on the side of the gods on this one, in that he didn't mean to purposely deprecate in order to get.
Trump had the guy in his sight and mocked his arm.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And when the Obama people were mocking John McCain for not being able to type, that was okay?
Yeah,
Or John McCain not being able to use a mouse because
they didn't
arm?
Call him a loser.
No, that's okay.
John McCain. Do you mean Doyle? John McCain can use a typewriter. I don't
know. John McCain had difficulty using a mouse because of his arm, and the Obama people
made fun of that during the campaign.
Sorry, I don't remember that. That's wrong.
No, I don't think that's why they did it.
No, I don't.
See, that's the other thing that happens around here. Somebody says something, it means one thing, and then somebody else comes in and says he meant something else. In the case of Donald Trump, there's no question what he meant about the Mexicans.
Well, I mean, he announces what he means. I mean, there isn't a gray area there.
Yeah, look, when you speak your mind, mind, and when you talk a lot, you're going to say things that are dumb. And when you have some thoughts that are dumb, right, they're going to come out that way.
And that doesn't concern you as a voter?
Of course it concerns me. Of course it concerns me. But what are my choices? My choices are the woman who may or may not get indicted, depending on what Obama decides to do.
Trump has as much chance to get indicted as Hillary does. He has Trump University, major fraud case going on.
By the way, what is it? What are you all? And I'm taking it off the subject for a second. But okay. What do you make of the Mitt Romney?
I don't think he had anything solid when he said that.
Mitt Romney said that when you look at
his tax record,
there's going to be a bombshell.
Isn't that amazing?
Let's put it this way. And now speaking for the Republican establishment is Mitt Romney.
Yeah, I would think that you guys would be fascinated by the one thing, and I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, to think that Rosemary Armijo is in the same position as Mitch McConnell on "We've got to get rid of Trump" is kind of a level of bipartisanship we have not seen before.
I wish I could bring him around to the right thinking on the Supreme Court, Mitch and I, now that we're buds.
But the only people more out of their minds than the Democrats are the establishment Republicans over Trump, and I got to tell you something about that attracts me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's also an article in the New York Times. I'm throwing a lot at the wall here, but there's also an article in the New York Times today, I believe, that I sent out regarding the relationship, the potential relationship between Trump and Paul Ryan.
Fascinating.
I didn't understand
fascinating.
That one.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I like that article.
Well, because Paul Ryan is the spokesman for the, you know, for the conservative establishment right. And they don't want this guy in here because there's a long list of things that he believes in that are belong in a Democratic column as opposed to Republicans in terms of, a woman's right to defend her body and do all of those things. And they just don't want this guy out there throwing spitballs and ruining the party that they've been in, which is what makes him so attractive to so many people.
Yeah. Listen, I don't feel, you know, I feel less strongly about it than I think you people do. I think I still, it's funny, he keeps winning and I still can't, along with you guys, I still just don't see a scenario in which he ends up getting the Republican nomination. So maybe I'm being a little more flip about that than I should be.
We should note for since you two joined us. Wait, but Rich was saying at the beginning that he still thinks that Marco Rubio has a chance.
I said early on. I think Rubio. And when there was however many of them, I said that. Look, I think Marco's always going to be everybody's kind of second choice, and then as people walk in and are faced with the choice of, you know, Cruz
Rich,
or
their
Trump.
Guy. He's their guy.
I think he is their guy.
Well, I don't like him at all. I did not like him. I don't think he did a good job, and I think he really has flip-flopped.
Marco Rubio.
Yeah. His whole stand on immigration has done a 180. But Trump is just so ugly. And by the way, one of the vice president possibilities he's looking at is the governor of Florida, who is a convicted fraudster.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. It's just, you're right. We have aren't there better people in the United States to be running for
president? Aren't there better people on both sides?
I agree. I grant you that.
Yeah, I just, you know, what happened?
Where are they? Why are they not running?
You know, you read the accounts of and I know there was, you know, racism and sexism and elitism back then, but you read the accounts of, you know, the constitutional conventions, you know, James Madison writing that, you know, these are it's a collection of demigods. You know, mm-hmm. it's the now I know it was only men, it was only white men, but you know, said this, it's the smartest men in America, and like the level of debate and the level of
discourse.
Just intelligence and discourse and insight, and you kind of wonder, is there a problem when you have a government that's based on needing people of that level for it mm-hmm. to work, and then as you get down to people of kind of normal level.
Right.
You wonder if the model still plays out as well.
I concur with that. Are the great leaders going into business? Where are they?
Well, there's...
I think Obama's a great leader. And he's a great leader. I think he's sensible. I think he's... I think he moderates and...
Even granting debate. That, okay, yeah. That's one.
Well, you know, I mean, look, when Thomas Jefferson was the... Vice President of the United States, the press just excoriated him for everything, including Sally Hemings and everything else that was going on at the time. So we could say, where were the great leaders then? But Thomas Jefferson stands up.
Well, bringing it back around to the when I said, you know, sometimes the agent or vehicle of change is not the person, you know, that you want it to be. You know, Thomas Jefferson, certainly a flawed individual. John Adams, you know, probably John Adams was probably as hated as, you know, as Ted Cruz was, you know, he comes president and he passes the Alien and Sedition Acts.
Yep.
You know, Hamilton, you know, his well-known, you know, foibles. Maybe the glare of the way we look at people today is too much. But I think I agree with Rosemary. I just don't. Where are the great leaders?
Yeah, I don't see that we have a wealth of great leadership anywhere in business as well as in politics or in education. I think all our institutions are rather askew, including the political parties right now, because we're entering this whole new age. The information age is different than the industrial age we came out of, and none of the institutions are working the way they should. Business, church, parties. It's a mess.
Well, don't you think we're going to change that? I mean, don't you think that
it will change over
time? How?
We have 15 seconds.
Because I think people are really disgusted. And when the people are disgusted, change happens.
We'll take a break there. We'll come back. We'll get letters. We'll go on to other subjects. We have to hear Rich's thoughts on the Supreme Court. And Rosemary gasps.
God, do we have to?
we'll return to our panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan, and we'll be back after this short break. You know, every once in a while, you bring your car in for a checkup, tune-up, just make sure everything's going well. And when we want to make sure that our server is working and that everything is going full steam, we have Rich on.
Absolutely.
And then boom.
Well, Rosemary gets a certain amount of that.
That's true. But
I do believe people have got to be sick to death of hearing about the election, right?
No,
I don't think so. And I also think that
I am.
And even if you're sick to death of it, I think that whatever we're doing here and whatever's happening, we are still electing the president of the United
Absolutely.
States, and that trumps all.
Yep.
Pardon the pun.
Don't say that.
Sorry.
That trumps all.
Well,
that,
it does. I mean, you know.
I understand. I know, but we can't take the word out of the lexicon.
Joe is right, and when those people write to me and say nobody's listening to this drivel. I say, well, how come we do a vox pop on the subject and every phone from the first moment to the end is lit up? Or how come now I couldn't possibly get to read all of the letters?
No, we have 199 letters.
Holy
so just
cow.
Since we started.
What do you,
so,
when I'm not on, what do you usually get? You get the same amount?
We get a big, I mean, when we talk about these subjects,
okay.
we get a nice
yeah, good. I don't feel as put upon.
All right.
Put upon. I thought you were claiming all the credit.
I just before we go to the letters.
People tune in hoping you'll be here to attack you.
I don't think that's the
so
case.
Just before we go to the letters, and because there are a lot of them, we want to get to as many as possible. But before we do that really quickly, I just want to go to the issue of the there is now a rumor. I don't think it's more than that. A rumor that the president has a name as the governor of Nevada to be the nominee for the Supreme Court.
Perfect candidate.
Sandoval.
And so the question is, what is this? Will this change the position of the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Senate leadership that announced this week they would not take this up at all? And Rich, what do you make of this? Because
everybody looks at me, right?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Because the three of us find it deplorable. And you, sir?
Well, Mitch just texted me and said, not no way, not no how.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Okay. And do you think that's right?
I think it's fine.
Why?
Because we talked about bipartisanship before. The one thing that we are truly bipartisan are that every elected senator agrees on is when you're within spitting distance or within sight of a presidential election, a Supreme Court vacancy comes up, try and put it off.
There's no such agreement. That has never happened. Five times in the past century,
Schumer,
we have done it.
Biden.
He has one quarter of his term to go, and Schumer and Biden did not talk about an actual vacancy.
As Schumer and Biden talked about putting off a Supreme Court.
Okay, the
shoe
is on the other foot.
Right.
However,
we all know they're all the same.
However,
right?
The question remains, is it right? The Constitution says the president appoints and then the Senate doing its duty either says up or down. They're not doing that, and that is, I think, an anathema to many people in the United States.
I agree.
And I think it's going to cost them big.
I don't agree with that. Well, and that's where we disagree, and I think that's the mistake that got John Boehner out of his job, and I think the mistake that Mitch McConnell will not make. Go, Jeff.
And to the shoe, to Alan's point about the shoe being on the other foot, if this was reversed, would you be saying right now that it's criminal that they're not allowing a Republican to make a Supreme Court?
I'd switch chairs with Alan, of course. Okay. Just we all would. Let's at least we all agree on that, right? I mean, who's ever, if you're not in power, you try and put off the decision until you are.
Sure, but there is
putting off the decision is different than stopping the process, which is what McConnell is doing. This has not happened.
It's also stupid, I'll tell you, because if Hillary wins and gets 3 or maybe 4 appointments to the Supreme Court, they're really in Dutch. Their problem is that for all of these years, that 5-4 majority has been wreaking havoc to American democracy. In my mind, and to true value. So as a result of that, they just are jumping up and down like a 2-year-old who's been sent to a room for quiet time and saying, "We're not going to put up with this. We're just not going to put up with this. We're not going to. We don't want it. Yeah. Too bad you don't want it."
Here's the thing, though. I don't think Obama's plan to put in a moderate or a Republican is going to work. This guy in Nevada is he's pro-choice. He is pro-Obamacare. He is not going to be acceptable to the Senate.
No.
It will look worse that a qualified Republican, a judge who was unanimously confirmed, is being put off by these people who has all of the temperament. And, I'm telling you, they're making a big, big mistake.
No, Rich
here
is right. The people are going to say, the Democrats do the same thing. Look at Bork.
No, they're not.
Bork was qualified.
And the other thing is, the mistake that I was referring to that Boehner made was he's always thinking, you know, on the Republican side, and I have to disclaim again, not a Republican, conservative, not a Republican, but on the Republican side, they're always thinking of, how can we get them to like us? What can we do to get them to like us? And somebody's got to stand up and say,
don't like us.
They're never going to, you know, the media is never going to like you if you're a Republican. I don't care what machinations you go through. So just own it.
Have you been reading the New York Post lately?
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with Rosemary. That was ridiculous.
Well, you think?
I think there are Republicans who are very popular with the press. I think it's obstructionism. That's not. I mean, Paul Ryan has a good relationship with the press.
I didn't hear any of that when he was running for vice president from you guys.
Oh yeah, I hated that.
No, but when he was doing, no, but when Boehner was
wait
going
a minute,
and
then,
they were
then I had a choice of a real Democrat. No, of course not. But
see, but
he,
Rosemary,
he has-
you just underlined the, you know, one of the, first of all, I think politically it's never going to happen on the Supreme Court, whether it's right or wrong. Democrats would do the same thing. I think now the Republicans are doing it. Fine. Okay.
Doesn't make it right.
Okay. Doesn't make it right. Fine.
That's my point.
But if I had to make the argument on the merits, I'd say a couple of things. First of all, you like Paul Ryan maybe now, but you didn't like him when he was running for vice president. Sometimes the same person running for is good in one seat and not good in another.
Okay.
And that's why all these people who are, you know, confirmed 98-0 to be federal court judge or even circuit court judge in the D.C. circuit, it's a very different thing when you are changing, and somebody used this phrase, and I really liked it, changing the center of gravity of the Supreme
Court.
You
bet that's what's happening.
Yeah. So, and let's. So
and
that's
I don't
the one
want
thing.
It.
The other
that's
thing,
what American
if I wanted to make an academic argument, I might say, and I know you guys will get out of your seats on this, but I might say, look, a lot of the things that the Supreme Court is going to pass upon in the next 2 years is the constitutionality of executive orders that have been taken to an unprecedented level. And so why should the person whose orders are going to be such under such study, why should he get to pick?
And why should
the Constitution say the president appoints?
And then the third thing I'd say, yeah, Alan,
what
is...
You want to talk about constitutionality? There it is.
You want to talk about constitutionality. The guy who said, all I need is a pen and a phone, okay, for him to suddenly get religion about the Constitution in the seventh year of his term? No,
Some of the ugliness hypocrisy. Of this. The idea that a president becomes a lame duck and cannot act is a really dangerous idea. He has one quarter of his term.
By the way, it used to be
that lame duck was after November.
That's right.
There was a president elect.
This is wrong.
Except there was the
New York Times editorial which I sent, that was the line that I loved in that, which is that lame duck used to be from November to January.
Right.
And now we're saying what, the last year? Also, you were talking about his argument, Rich's argument before.
I think that's a good one, he's getting the pick.
Yeah, but you would have that if you have if you're in your first year of office and you potentially have anything that
you could do, because they're deciding on constitutional issues and the president's
But executive orders are usually a much smaller portion of the court's docket. Than they have been.
Okay, Rich, let me ask you a question. And then the rest of the show will be letters.
Go ahead.
If in fact Obama announced an appointment in the first year of his term, would you still be mouthing off this way? In other words,
in the second term.
Okay, the first year of the second term, instead of the last year of the second term, would you be and the Republicans stood up and said, "Well, we think he's got a conflict of interest here because they're going to rule on his programs." Would you be saying the same thing?
The answer is I would not. One, because of just the temporally the amount of time that until the next justice would be picked, but also the rampant use of executive orders did not really come into being as much until close to the end of
Emancipation Proclamation. That's kind of a major one, and that was an executive order.
Yeah.
So that's wrong, saying it's an unprecedented level. That is just rhetoric to make Obama seem out of the mainstream.
Well, all right. First of all, I'm not. If you're going to compare the Emancipation Proclamation with anything that's been done in our century, I'm going to suggest to you that it's a different order of magnitude.
All right, so let's hold for a second on the conversation. We have a lot of letters to get to, and I want to make sure we get to all of them, but we can get a bit. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get our letters together, and then we'll do that for the last segment. You're listening to The Roundtable in WAMC. Seventh inning stretch as we get ready to wrap up the program into the final innings. Alan will go to the mailbag, which is voluminous, and here we go.
Okay, so John says, so let's exclude all senators with less than 1 year left from voting on any Supreme Court nominee, and in my mind, or on anything else, because they only have 1 year left. Okay, that was for me.
Actually going around the table saying, wouldn't be so bad.
Valid point, yeah.
Okay, so Patrick says, I totally agree with Rich about the debates. The candidates present their positions in the first debates, and then they end up attacking one another on a personal level in additional debates, which just demeans the electoral process. That's from Patrick. I don't agree with Patrick because I think the personality of the person who has his finger on the button is extraordinarily important. So I think you have to consider that. All right. And Joe says, I used to think Rich Hoden was an intelligent conservative. I've lost all respect for him this morning. Supporting Trump, obvious to the racism and hatred that Trump spews, is beyond respect. And then gives a Yiddish expression, sei gesund, be healthy. Okay, there you go.
We used to say in Gesundheit.
Yeah, you're right, right. And then Barbara, our wonderful Barbara Smith, who will be on right tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
Yeah. Trust me, Donald Trump is a racist. If you even want more proof, look at the Southern Poverty Law Center just released year and hate issue, which is featured where he is featured on the cover, says Barbara. Barry says, how about a single payer, Obama? No, I agree to a private sector scheme. The Republicans will go along. And Obama negotiates Supreme Court. How about nominating a Republican? I, by the way, think, Barry, for whatever it's worth, and you may think I'm an idiot, but I have to say I think it's a brilliant strategy for him to appoint a Republican, as a successful Republican governor who's been a successful Republican judge. It's exactly what I predicted Remember that, Rosemary? What
yes.
would happen here?
Yes.
And exactly what he is doing. Okay, so I'm a genius. Okay, so SCOTUS. So Jim
That's
says,
the upshot on that. Yeah. Right.
Senator McConnell voted to confirm a Reagan nominee in November of Reagan's last year in office. When are the people of the United States going to have had enough of the exasperating Republican tendency to rewrite history and expect us to believe them? Said Jim. Hmm. And Bill says, I'm glad Rich Honan is on. It's good to have diversity on the panel. There's not enough representation of his point of view. There's also not enough representation of minority people. It's good to have some insight into the self-deceit of the average implicit racist. What? Okay, let's go.
That was one of those things that almost started off as a compliment.
It almost yeah, sounded,
and then,
almost
but then once they got into deceitful racist, I started to feel less good about myself. Sounded.
Let's not forget that Joe Biden weighed in years ago. There was no Tea Party, no nasty political atmosphere, and no resentment of an African-American being elected twice as president. It was a time when Republican and Democratic Congress people were gentlemen. Oh yeah, right. Were gentlemen all the way and had dinners together, and they worked out compromise after compromise. Apples and oranges is different time, says Walker. Sean says...
I agree with that one. Don't you?
No.
You don't think it's different times?
No, I'm trying to read it.
Sorry.
Look, I worked in the Congress. They hated each other. There's no two ways.
Even like, you know, Reagan and Tip O'Neill.
1963, I was down there. Let me tell you, there was no love lost between those various sides. And remember, you had things like the great civil rights bill debate and things like that. This was a tough time. Sean says, I listen to WFC sometimes on my way back and forth to New York, including the ultra-conservative Mark Levine. But there's something that goes on beyond the pale with Honan's presentation of view. It's enough to make one's blood boil to the point of evaporation. What kind of corporate law gets practiced up in Albany? I can't imagine the corporation letting this man make oral arguments in an actual court. We love Rich Honan, and we're delighted he's here, and we respect him, and that's all Alan is going to say. And if you don't like it, you should go to the lumpen proletariat. Susan of Sunderland says, thank you for inviting and having rousing and respectful discussion with a Trump supporter. Exactly. And James says, my panel, my question is, what Republican jurist in their right mind would agree to be Obama's nominee in light of the Senate majority promise not to vet them? Why tick off the leadership, Jim and Montgomery? The answer to that one, I think, for whatever it's worth, is that the Supreme Court of the United States is something that goes on your tombstone. You know what I mean? And it's a tremendous...
It's a nice resume builder.
It's a tremendous opportunity. It's a seminal thing that you do in your life. And if you really... His problem is going to have to be thinking as to whether... Or I said thinking as opposed to thinking.
Right.
Because thinking is what you want to sound like when you're progressive as opposed to, you know, otherwise. So you drop the G.
Yes, I've heard Obama do that many a time.
Not only Obama, other guys who do that. Okay, so there you are. He's trying to figure out whether he would make it or not. I'm sure that's part of it.
And I got it, you know, Alan, to that point, and there is nothing good about this, but I think that the level of animosity, hatred, dislike, and everything on the Republican side against Obama, I think that last letter kind of brought, and what you said about, you know, there's something goes on your tombstone. And this I do not agree with, but I will say I just don't think that in their minds they're going to give him the satisfaction of appointing a Supreme Court justice. And there could be nothing longer than that. And I agree with that. But don't you just feel that, you know, given the vitriol that goes on down there?
Well,
on both sides. But on this one, it's the Republicans in the wrong.
Yes.
But you got six people defending Senate seats and if they start to poll and if people say you're going to lose because you opened your big fat mouth and said you would not even consider what the Constitution says you should do, I think there's going to be a turnaround.
But that, you know what, Alan? And that shows the ineptitude. I can't believe I'm about to say this. This shows the political prowess, follow this, of a Harry Reid over the political ineptitude of a Mitch McConnell. Okay, and I disliked everything Harry Reid did. Right. But boy, when Harry Reid said, this is not going to happen, he totally umbrellaed his members, right? His members could have said, they could have taken any position, they could have protected themselves, because they said, hey, you know, the leadership isn't going to let it happen. McConnell, I think, did a cowardly thing by relying on Grassley and the judiciary.
Right.
If McConnell had just stood up and took the hit and said, listen, I don't care what you say, this is never going to see the light of day, then it would have at least given, I'm just talking politically, I'm not talking right or wrong, it would have given his members, especially those up for re-election, some cover to be able to say, hey, you know, I would have liked to, you know, I don't like the idea of rejecting somebody out of hand. I would have liked to have at least
met it. It's tough, you know.
But McConnell
doesn't play that way.
No, and I think that, and I think the other thing is just on the conservative Republican side, if McConnell blows this one, he's done.
That's
absolutely done.
True, which is the other
dynamic
going on.
How invested
he has to be.
Right. He can't
let
this happen.
What's at stake
is also not right, by the way.
You're absolutely right about it. Look at what's at stake for American voters, though. Our system of appointing justices is so messed up. Why? I hope that, if nothing else, this opens up the debate on what we should be doing. I don't want great flaming liberals on the court. I think we should have qualified moderates. I like this Sandoval guy. Never thought of him in the position before. Why? That's the way advising should be. We should open up the idea to a great number of people could be on the court who we don't consider. Remember the Nixon wars when he was putting people who are totally unqualified, but they were very conservative. That's bad. Bork was eminently qualified, but he was an ideologue too.
Yeah, he sure was.
So I mean, we have to look at how this goes on. Sorry,
we're going back to the letters now. Hey, gang! Great discussion. So tired to hear about unprecedented use of executive orders by President Obama, and nobody ever contesting this falsehood. Reality check. George W. Bush, 293 executive orders. Obama, 183.
None coming close. Bless you, Joe. None coming close to the magnitude or the breadth or the areas in which the executive orders were made.
That's absolutely true. Obama has pressed it to the limit, and good for him.
Yeah.
Bold action.
E says, so tired of hearing Mitch McConnell invoking the will of the American people, please. Jerry says, Rich, Rosemary didn't say she liked Ryan. She said the press liked him. Pay attention. I don't know. Is that what you said?
She was kind of digging him, though. Yeah. Come on, Rose.
Well, you brought up, you know, the press does like him. I think he gets very favorable coverage. I think he actually deserves it. But no, I did not like him as a candidate for vice president. I hate his budget.
Okay.
His proposed budget.
And we heard from Lily, who said, no way, no how. I'm not sure who I'm voting for yet. But as a woman, as a mother, somebody who has a disability, I'm appalled every day by the things that come out of Trump's mouth. And people capital letters, cheer him on.
True.
Okay, and then there's more,
horrible.
But I'm not reading it all. Let's see. And then a lot of people have challenged this executive order thing. Please, no, I'm not going to read that. You don't say things like that. You don't say things like that. We don't, I mean, the civility is very important here. It really is. You don't start calling names. You start calling names, you got to deal with me. That's it. Deanne says, I can't believe that an intelligent person would vote for somebody just because he's going to change things. We don't know how. And that's Deanne. That's true.
That's the problem.
You look back in history and you look in other countries and people made promises about changing things to a dissatisfied electorate, you know what can happen, especially when they're picking on individual religions or philosophies. So when you say the Muslims, one way or the other, need to be watched and they can't come in here, my ears go up as an American Jew and say,
I would say the same thing, Alan, though. Yeah. And I'm not even, there's not enough time left to get into, from the Jewish perspective, what the current administration's views on Israel and some of the things I've heard about this administration towards Israel and the Jewish people. So,
your guy Trump says he'd be he'd be neutral in that little Jewish Palestinian debate.
That little one. Okay, listen, I got more to do here. Come on, Paul says, please tell us how this country. No, that's all wrong. Okay, I think your Rich has a good point. What is his choice? None of the candidates on the Republican side have any character at all. Okay, well, yeah, they have character. Okay.
But, Alan, let me just ask. Isn't it academic? We were just talking the implosion potential of Trump, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're just playing this out until it happens, right? It's got to happen, right?
It happens.
He's just got to,
you know, come across the stage at somebody or something, right? I mean, aren't we all just waiting for that? I mean, so I can blithely kind of take that position because I just don't.
Well, if you can't take the Pope, if you can take the Pope on, I don't know what else you can do.
Okay, beat up his wife? Would that do it?
Well, he said he could
He said he could kill somebody.
So just kill somebody in the street.
So he might actually try that
to
at
test
the next
it.
Debate.
Yeah, yes. to test
but,
it.
But I mean, really, I mean, but seriously, especially with all the establishment attack ads that they're going to be running with all that money and just pecking away at him.
That is to me.
We all want to be around
really
for that
interesting parts
implosion.
of this election is all of that money has not had an effect. Look at Jeb Bush. How much was spent there to no effect? And in 2012, same thing. Millions of dollars spent with no effect on the election. So we're all worried about Citizens United. Many of us are worried about Citizens United. And yet money's not buying the election so far.
Not yet. Sorry, Alan. I didn't mean to.
No. The fact that we have 250 letters, and they're all over the place. That's what I love about this. And I love the discussion, and I love the civility that we feel here in the studio. So when people start writing in and using words that I don't like, you got to deal with me about that. That's not right. We're not doing that.
So we have 2 minutes. Let's do 2 minutes of letters, and then we will. We'll.
And Doug says, I'm talking about all that babble about who insulted who. Do you think anybody outside your studio cares? Yes, I do. And Rich's direction, the phrase wrong direction is peculiar. There's a direction toward war, away from war, toward improved conditions for the poor, towards income inequality. What direction is it that Rich sees things going in? You did say that in the beginning. So.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think the direction of the divisiveness, both politically and socially within the country, I think we're going more towards that. One day we have to sit down and have a long discussion, not necessarily on air, of the income inequality debate, because somebody needs to explain to me why if Joe Donahue's making $1 million a year in Albany and somebody else
How'd
is
you
making,
find out about that?
And somebody else is making $20,000 a year in Oakland, why it I'm not understanding the cause and effect of that.
Okay.
But that's just
okay. Okay, we'll set just
half a minute. Yeah.
Tom says, I consider myself a left libertarian, but a choice between Trump, Rubio, and Cruz, I'd certainly pick Trump. The other two gremlins are far too conservative on women's health issues. Oh, I think there's a big difference between those two guys. And I think one is the establishment guy.
Between Rubio and Cruz. Yeah,
and Cruz is, oh boy, he's way over there against the wall on the right side of the room. And they don't like him for exactly that reason. They're worried about him.
Boy, Trump doesn't get any points with you guys for standing at a Republican debate and saying Bush lied to get us into the war.
We already knew that, Rich.
Alan, Rosemary, Rich, thank you very much for being part of the conversation. Keep the letters coming. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.